And so we're going to bring a little bit of that to us this morning. Would you stand as we look in Mark chapter 8 this morning in verse 22? This is one of the most unusual stories of Jesus' ministry, and you'll see why for several reasons as we encounter this story this morning. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When Jesus had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and he said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. He saw everything clearly. Then Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go to the village." Church, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So, no name. No backstory. No details about his life. No sight. And no telling how long he's been without sight. He may have been without sight since birth, or maybe something happened to him in his life to cause him to lose his sight. Every day, a black screen against his face. Every day, feeling his way everywhere he went. Every day, tapping his walking stick. Every day, trusting his ears. Every day. And this day in particular, on this day, Mark says that some people brought him to Jesus. They led him to Jesus as Jesus was entering this little fishing village of Bethsaida. Some people, Mark says, brought this man to Jesus and they met up. And when they got him to Jesus, they did more than ask. They didn't just ask. Mark says they begged. "Jesus, would you? Jesus, please. Jesus, you have to do this." Now, the truth is, we don't know their motives. Maybe they were friends. Maybe these people were friends of the blind man. Maybe they had his very best interest at heart. Maybe what they really wanted for this guy more than anything was for him to be well. Or maybe they weren't his friends. Maybe these are people who found a blind guy. And maybe for them, this blind guy was nothing more than a prop. Maybe they said to themselves, "Hey, Jesus is coming. So let's get this guy to Jesus and see what happens. We've heard what Jesus can do. Let's go see for ourselves. Let's go give Jesus something to work with. Let's go and see the show, because we've heard about the Jesus show." In Matthew chapter 11, Matthew tells us that Jesus cursed this village of Bethsaida for their lack of faith. So this was an area, this was a community that was really known, and Jesus himself knew this community as a place that lacked faith. The people there lacked faith. So maybe these guys that brought the blind man to Jesus, maybe them bringing him to Jesus wasn't so much an act of faith. Maybe for them it was a spectacle. All throughout the Gospel of Mark, nobody gets it. Our teenagers can tell you. They know. They're steeped in it now. All throughout the Gospel of Mark, nobody gets it. Nobody gets who Jesus is. Jesus is there to make the announcement that he's the Messiah sent from God to save, that he is God's Son sent into the world to bring salvation and freedom and life. That's why Jesus is there. And nobody gets it. They see him, but they don't really see him. They see him as a prophet. They see him as a teacher. Some people see him as kind of a witch doctor or a carnival act. Some of the people, many of the people around Jesus, they're seeing him not as the Messiah, but they're seeing him as a good show. And any of our teenagers will tell you, the last thing Jesus wants is to be a good show. So Jesus took hold of the man's hand, and Jesus whisked him outside of the village, away from all the people, away from the crowds, away from all those folks who were there for spectacle. Jesus took the man outside of the village, and when Jesus got the man outside of the village, where it was maybe just the two of them, maybe a small crowd, maybe just the disciples, this is where the story really starts to get strange. There's really no other story like this in the Bible. Jesus spit in the man's eyes. Jesus spit in the man's eyes. Now, there are two other stories where Jesus uses saliva to heal. Two other stories, but he just used saliva to heal. This is the only one where what we can gather from this story is that Jesus spit into someone's face. Folks, this is an act that pretty much universally in every culture, this is an extreme, so I don't have to tell you this, it's a social insult, you know this. It's utter, disgraceful, disrespectful, unthinkable act. You know, this probably wasn't the first time that somebody spit in this man's face. Think about it. In that culture, the sick, the disabled, the diseased, they were constant targets of ridicule. It was largely believed that they were that way because of sin or that they were unclean. And so this guy, this poor guy, and people like him would have been an easy target because he never would have seen it coming when people spit in his face, and he would never know who did it. And so I imagine this wasn't the first time a guy like this had been spat upon. But for Jesus to do it. Folks, I'm pretty well committed not to really sugarcoat the Bible for you or try to explain things that really can't be explained. And I think this is kind of one of those things. I don't know why Jesus spit in his face. Who knows why? In the ancient world, a lot of people believed that saliva had healing properties, and maybe that had something to do with it. I don't understand everything about everything that Jesus did, this story and a lot of other ones, and I just don't know. But here's what I do know. I do know that this isn't the last time that Jesus... that fluid from Jesus' body brings healing to those in need. That's what I do know. This isn't the last time. It's not the only time that fluid from Jesus' body brings healing to those in need. So after Jesus spit, Jesus put his hands over the man's eyes. And this is another curious part of the story. There's no other story like this one because Jesus then asks him, "Do you see anything?" This is the only time Jesus ever does a miracle and then asks, "How did I do? Are you good?" You know, pretty much in every other story, Jesus just heals the person and you know they're healed and it just kind of goes on from there. But in this story, Jesus spits, he touches him, and then Jesus asks, "How are we doing now? How are we doing? Are we okay?" Jesus is kind of like an optometrist here, clicking the machine. You know, can you see now? How about this? Is this better? One or two? One or two. That's what Jesus is doing here. He touches him. Okay, how are we doing? How are you seeing? And the man lifted up his eyes and he said, "I see." So first of all, he sees. There's improvement. This man, no longer a black screen in front of his face. He sees and he says, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." So obviously this man has some blurry vision. And what this sounds like, what this seems like is some kind of a partial miracle. Now, what I'm about to tell you isn't very spiritual. But the first thing that comes to my mind here is that if I'm this guy, I've got spit in my eyes. And so maybe that's a little bit of the reason why everything seems to be blurry at this point. But when he says this, I can see, but I can't see clearly, that's when Jesus says, okay, come here, we're not done with you. Come here, come back to me. Let me get hold of those eyes again. Jesus says to the guy, you're better. You're better than you were, but you're not all the way better. Come here, let me make you all the way better. And folks, again, this is how this story is so different. This is the only time in the Gospels when Jesus ever did this. He touched the man again. Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes again, and the man's eyes opened, and his sight then at that point was fully and completely restored, and he saw everything crystal clear. This is the only time in the Gospels, the only story we have in which it took Jesus two attempts to heal someone. This is the only two-stage healing we have in the Bible. It took a double dose of what Jesus had to heal this man. Which really leads us to the question, why couldn't Jesus get it right the first time? I mean, he's Jesus, right? Miracles aren't usually a problem for Jesus. And up until this point, the first 7.5 chapters of the book of Mark, Jesus has already done bigger things than this. He's already done much bigger things than this. He fed the 5,000 with a few scraps. He healed the deaf. He healed the mute. He healed the paralyzed. He healed other blind people before this point, and he did it in one try. He healed people of skin disease, of leprosy. He sent demons packing. He even raised up a young dead girl to new life. He even did that. So why did this one take two tries? Must have been a tough case of blindness, huh? Like, it's like Jesus almost met his match here. It kind of sounds like, you know, it kind of sounds like the Patriots. Struggle in the first half, make some halftime adjustments, then come back and blow up the scoreboard in the second half. You know, it just takes two tries, two parts, get it done. That was painful, using a Patriots analogy. Like, do I need to apologize for that? I don't know. Okay, so what in the world is going on in this story? What's going on in this story is that this one little story in the very middle of the book of Mark tells the story of Jesus' entire life and ministry. All of Jesus' ministry is really encapsulated in this one little story. Because the truth is, at this point of the story, all of the people around Jesus were partially blind. All of the people around Jesus, they saw Jesus, they saw him. But they saw a blurry version of Jesus. They saw him, but they didn't see him clearly. They didn't see everything that he was. They didn't see him as the Messiah, right? They saw a prophet, they saw a carnival act, they saw a good teacher. They saw other things, they saw a spectacle. They saw him, but they didn't see him clearly. All of the people around Jesus, the crowds, the masses, the followers, and even the disciples. Even the disciples at this point of the story, they're not seeing Jesus clearly. They saw him, but they didn't see him as the Messiah. So this story, it's really not so much about Jesus needing two tries to heal a person. It's not a story about, well, Jesus didn't have enough mojo the first time, and it just took two attempts. That's not what this story is about. This story really makes a statement about all of the people who are surrounding Jesus. And the statement is this. All of you people are only half seeing me. You're only half seeing me. You're not seeing all of who I am. You rewind a little bit in the story. I wonder if what would have happened if the blind guy, after Jesus touched him the first time, and he could see, you know, blurry. I wonder what would have happened if the guy would have been satisfied at that point, and just taken off, you know, yippee! I can see a little bit, and he starts running around and crashes into a wall. Or maybe he thinks, I can see a little bit, I can see a little bit. And so he wants to let everybody know it, so he goes to climb a tree to announce it, only to find out he's climbing a person because he can't tell the difference, and it's a little bit awkward at that point. But the guy didn't leave. He stuck around. The guy did not settle for being half well. He didn't settle for being half well. He let Jesus keep working on him so that he could be fully healed. And so this is the message that Jesus is trying to communicate to everybody around him. Ah, you people, you only half see me. Yeah, you like me. Yeah, you admire me. Yeah, sure, you respect me. Yeah, you think I can do some great stuff. But you only halfway see me. You're content. You're satisfied. You've settled for a blurry version of me. And so what Jesus is saying to this guy in this story is really what Jesus is saying to everybody else around him. And what he's saying is, come here, let me get hold of you again. Let me touch you again. Let me keep working on you. And then this story ends kind of sad. Jesus says, okay, now that you're fully healed, go home. But don't go back through the village. Don't go back through the village because everybody there is really looking for an entertainer. And if you go back there all the way better, that's just going to only confirm what they think about me, that I'm some sort of a spectacle, and I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that. So don't even go back there. It'll just rile them up again about them thinking I'm a good show. And that's pretty much how the story ends. Just like all the crowds in those days, all the followers in those days. You know, I think one of the biggest problems with followers of Jesus today is not us. You know, other people. We're fine, right? We're good. We don't have any problems. Everybody, I'm talking about other churches, other people. Got to point in every direction. Can't point in one direction, or you think I'm pointing to one church. But you know, all the problems with all those Christians, not us, right? It's that there are a lot of Christians who are okay with being half well. A lot of followers of Jesus who are kind of just satisfied with where they're at. They're just okay. They've been touched once upon a time by Jesus, and they're okay with that. You know, I see a kind of a blurry version of Jesus who meets my needs and supports my politics because my politics are right, you know. Gets me out of jams when I need him to get me out of jams. Confirms the stuff that I already believe because what I believe is already right, of course. And he never demands that I change anything. He never wants me to be uncomfortable. He's fine with me living the life the way that I want to live it, and he never really requires anything of me. He's very easy. That's the kind of Jesus I see, right? That's the kind of Jesus so many people see. Biggest problem with so many followers is that we're okay being half well. I was in a meeting this week when someone was talking about how we need to redefine spiritual maturity. And see, for a lot of Christians, we think, okay, you're a mature Christian if you know you attend worship whenever you feel like it, whenever nothing else is going on. And when if you're basically a good person, and I'm better than most people, so I'm good there. And I don't use bad language, or at least not where other people can hear it, you know. And I vote a certain way, because you got to vote a certain way to be a good Christian. And I don't cheat on my spouse or do drugs, and that's pretty much it. And if I do those things and kind of, you know, check those boxes, then that's kind of what makes me a good Christian, and that's enough. And I've just kind of settled for a low bar of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's like saying, well, I want to be well, but not that well. I want to be whole, but not that whole. I want to be different, but not too different. I want to be new, but not that new. Because I still want to be in control. I want all of the benefit of following Jesus without any of the cost of following Jesus. Did you know that however you see Jesus is how you're going to live? So if you see that some kind of a blurry version of Jesus, an image of Jesus, it's only kind of half right, then you might just live about half right. It all goes back to how you see him and whether you are seeing Jesus clearly. And so folks, just like Jesus said to this man in the story, he says to us as well, come here, let me get hold of you again. Let me put my hands on you again. Let me get hold of you again. You're better. You're better than you were, but you're not all the way better. So come here. Come here. I want to touch you again. I want to fix those eyes. I want you to see me, Jesus says. I want you to see me clearly. I want you to see me as the Messiah, the suffering servant sent from God to give away everything that I am and everything that I have, my life for God's mission to heal the whole world. Because, folks, if you see Jesus that way, then you're going to end up living that way too. You know, the biggest barrier to spiritual growth in the life of a believer is the self-perception that I'm already spiritually mature. I've just learned this by watching people over the years, okay? The biggest barrier to spiritual growth in the life of a believer is the self-perception that I'm already mature enough. I'm okay. I'm good. Sometimes you are better off not being healed at all than being halfway healed. Because when you're halfway healed, you can live with a warped version of Jesus. And it's really hard to get past that to see the real Jesus. In the Church of the Nazarene, in the Wesleyan tradition, this is something good for you to know. In our church, one of the fundamental things that we believe is that Jesus doesn't just want to get hold of you one time. That's really at the crux and the core of who we are and what we believe. We believe that Jesus is not satisfied just getting hold of you one time and giving you one touch. But we believe, and the Bible says, that he continues to call us back to him so that he can keep putting his hands on us, so that he can continue to touch us, so that he can keep making us more well than we were before, more healed than we were before. This is holiness. This is the journey of holiness. This is the life of Christ-likeness, when God's sanctifying grace keeps getting hold of us to work on us, to make us better, to make us more like Jesus. That's our story. And what I want you to hear today is that Jesus is not okay with you being okay with where you are spiritually. Jesus is not okay with you being okay with where you are spiritually. Now, don't hear this message as you got to go do more for Jesus. You got to try harder and put more effort into it. You misheard me again, if that's the case. Because this isn't about working harder, putting more effort into living to try to be a better person. That's not what this is about, because guess what? You can't. It's about Jesus saying, hey, I want you to come back to me. Let me touch you again. Jesus says, let me do for you what you can't do for yourself. come to me, let me get my hands on you again, let me touch you again and again and again and again and again so I can make you better and better and better and more whole and more healed and more new and more the person I want you to be so that his healing power can work on you so that you can be more than just a baseline Christian. So that you'll be more like him, so that you can love like him and give like him and serve like him and forgive like him and show compassion like him and yeah, sometimes even suffer like him. Because the whole point is to be like him. Church, would you stand with me this morning? I think you know what the call to response this morning is. And I'm going to pray in just a moment. The altars are open. If you want to come in and kneel and pray, then you're welcome to do that. What I want you to hear is the Jesus who calls you back to him. The Jesus who says, I don't want you to settle for being halfway better. I don't want you to settle with just seeing a blurry version of me. I want you to hear the Jesus who says, come here, let me put my hands on you again and again and again and again and again. This moment in time is one of those opportunities to come to him again. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I'm just going to ask you this morning, would you listen to the Lord as he speaks to you?